out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 200. Yes, this is the long-awaited, the big Caffeination number 200. We're putting a coda on the first 200 episodes here at the Caffeination and a prelude on the next 200 and beyond. We'd like to thank everybody for listening to this show. This is, like I said, the Caffeination podcast. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. If you don't know what that means, you really owe it to yourself to head on over to techpodcasts.com and check out exactly what that means. Basically, it means we are but one of many shows that have agreed to all create child-safe, family-friendly, educational content. This is stuff you can listen to with your kids in the car and not have to worry about. It's all great, informative, educational stuff that hopefully you'll enjoy. Plenty of the other member shows of the network. We have a great show lined up for you today, and just in case you're listening to this show on the stream over the Tech Podcast Network, this is the Caffeination Podcast, found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. We are the Caffeine Nation. This is a podcast fueled by the love of caffeine and love of technology and the yearning desire to impart that onto everybody I meet. My name is Paul Muller. I am your host. Hopefully you're going to enjoy what we got going for you today. On today's show, we're going to be talking about any and all of the following: Apple, the MacBook Air, coffee, of course, drawing contests, Philadelphia City Hall, power, and fun. Pretty much that's what we'd like to bring to the table here for you today. First of all, a couple little things to get out of the way here. If you'd like to head on over to the Tech Podcast website, or you can head on over direct to the feed at techpodcast.blip.tv. You can find out all the cool CES coverage that the guys over there have amassed. Really good stuff. We have the little matter of an episode 200 giveaway that we're going to be dealing with right after the first bit of PodSafe music. If you'd like it for a picture of what the prize is, then you can head on over to caffeination.com and click on the link that says bad picture of the prize. Another thing we'd like to say, a very happy anniversary to the Robbins family. My in-laws are now celebrating today, the 20th of January, are celebrating their 29th wedding anniversary. Many happy returns onto them. I didn't realize that when I was planning all this stuff out for the 200th episode, I was like, you know what? My wife reminded me of it earlier. I was like, man, there's a whole bunch of anniversaries, a whole bunch of good things happening. I mean, fantastic things in work. I am excited beyond belief about everything that is happening right now. I hope you can feel it. I hope you understand the passion that we're trying to give you all this stuff with. Tonight has been no different than any other night. It's kind of hard on one hand to say yes to episode 200 is a fantastic, a special, and a much different show. But on the other hand, it is exactly the same as all the other shows. We're in spirit, you know. It's not the same content. It's the same passion. It's the same drive. It's why I do this. So I'd like to welcome back all of the returning listeners, all of the repeat offenders. For if you've listened to 150 or 200 shows here at the Caffeination, thank you so much. You are the reason we continue to do this show. You are the cherry on top of the sundae that is the Caffeination Podcast. And for all of the new listeners, hi and welcome. Hopefully you'll find a loving home here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully you'll get all of the technology news that you deem fit to listen to here. Thank you for putting us in your ear, letting us sit there for a little while, see how it feels. You know what I mean? All right. Also, tonight's no different because on tonight of all nights, I was like, yeah, you know, I want to get an early start. I'm recording with probably, I don't know, 20 minutes left in the actual 20th. So the boy already woke up once. This could be a very abbreviated episode in the initial run, meaning like I could have to break up actual production in between trips upstairs to soothe. But you know what? That's such as being a father, such as being a podcaster. We have to roll with the punches, and hopefully you're going to enjoy what we have here today. Like, I'm really excited about the length and breadth of the information that we're going to be delivering unto you. Let's see what we got here. First up from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have a lovely little tune from Ryan Shoop and the Rubber Band called Dream Big, and their website is over at shoop.net, and the music, of course, is provided by the PodSafe Music Network. Now, just a little second before we talk exactly what that means. Basically, that means that this is an artist that has agreed to allow their music to appear on podcasts for no additional licensing fee. This is a big thing in the realm of podcasting. podcasting in general, in case you're unaware, because I can't play Led Zeppelin. I can't play, you know, very many of the artists that you've heard of. So what we do is, rather than, you know, focus on this negative aspect, rather than focus on, you know, my wanting to play a long and winding road right now, I was like, you know what, I'm going to go a different way. We started before we actually decided to actually do a Caffeination podcast, before 001 was in the can, as the case may be. We decided, you know what, we're going to, you know, we're not going to just completely ditch the idea of music. What we're going to do is we're going to go the other way. We're going to find all the smaller artists out there, find the people who are willing to embrace the internet and all it can do for their careers, and hopefully help them out a little bit. And by proxy, we're going to, you know, widen our own musical horizons. And I'd like to think over the past 2+ years that we have done just that. So up first, we do have a wonderful selection from Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band. But first, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. If you're looking for a better way to present or collaborate during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet with anyone, anywhere, without ever having to leave your office. You'll not only end up saving time, but a serious amount of money as well. See for yourself, try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. We'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all the fun things that we're trying to do here with the show, increase little by little the amount of stuff that we're able to do, to give out. We have a couple interesting announcements that are probably going to take place in a very short time, one of which being a Caffeination branded line of products, basically. We're going to have Caffeination mugs and a whole bunch of other stuff over at Cafe Press. I just need to get the design set. We're probably going to have a Fear the Bean mug, and then since I don't know exactly where we're going this, we'd like a little feedback on that. And if you'd like to do that, you can send it over to caffeination@gmail.com. Have a couple little hints from some of the people that listen to the show that, you know, they would be interested in receiving one of these as a prize, or interested in even purchasing one on their own. So we're just trying to gauge the interest to determine exactly what we're going to do with it. So all right, but without much further ado, again, here is Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band with their song Dream Big, because that's what we're going to be doing here on the Caffeination Podcast. We're doing nothing but dreaming big, living as large as we can. And here you go, from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com.
When you cry, be sure to dry your eyes, 'cause better days are sure to come. And when you smile, be sure to smile wide, and don't let them know that they have won. And when you walk, walk with pride, don't show the hurt inside, because the pain will soon be gone. When you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big. And when you laugh, be sure to laugh out loud, 'cause it will carry all your cares away. When you see the beauty all around and in yourself, and it will help you feel okay. And when you pray and pray for strength to help you carry on when the troubles come your way. And when you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big. pray for strength to help you carry on when the troubles come your way. When you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big.
Again, that was Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band from the PodSafe Music Network and Shoup.net with their song Dream Big. You know, I gotta tell you, that song kind of hits a bunch of different little chords with me as I'm listening to it here. First of all, I have down in the caffeination layer, we have a wonderful picture that was originally taken in 1910. It hangs over my computer. It's actually of my great-grandfather standing behind an airplane. My great-grandfather built and flew the first airplane in Philadelphia. So we have a picture of this. He owned a bicycle shop with his brother, and they built this contraption, and that's all that it can be described as. And they flew it in 1910. I mean, that's what I have to live up to in some cases. You know, it's like whenever I think of dreaming big, I think of that kind of thing. I look up there and say, all right, what's going to be my airplane? Well, for me, it's this podcast. It's social media. It's new media. Everything is my airplane. So, you know, it's what we're doing here, what we are experiencing right now is my big dream. I'd like to thank you for taking part in it, and hopefully you're going to enjoy what we got going for you today. Well, we're going to get right down to brass tacks here, and we're going to do the episode 200 giveaway. Now, basically, what we're going to be giving away is any and all of the following. Well, actually, all of the following. We have a lovely stainless steel Apple thermos. We have a stainless steel travel mug, also branded from Apple. And we have five packets of apple cider, also provided by Apple. We also have a pound of coffee if you are a coffee drinker that you will be delivered. So that's going to be fresh roasted from one of the local roasters here in Pennsylvania, and hopefully you'll be able to enjoy it as you see fit. All right, so we have my lucky hat here, which is a Flyers hat signed by Keith Primo, not the current captain of the Flyers, but the captain right before the lockout. So let's see, we're going to shuffle it around. We got this is really old school. Every time I've listened to Todd Cochran from the Geek News Central podcast, or a couple other the podcasters that are out there, they all have you know, they go to randomnumber.org or something like that. No, we went old school here. I actually sat there with a piece of paper and a pen, wrote everybody's name down who submitted their entry, and thank you everybody who did, by the way. And now if we have a duplicate first name, I'm going to attempt to use your last name. I apologize in advance if I butcher your last name. I'm horrible with pronunciation of things, so please, in advance, I'm very sorry if this happens, and it probably will. But so we're going through here. We have roughly 11 to 15, there's 11 pieces of paper in here. We had somebody who entered twice. There's only one piece of paper, sorry there. But okay, so we're shuffling everything around. And now, let's see what we got here. All right, we pull this out, and we have Paul Barton. Paul's a longtime listener here at the Caffeination. I'm glad to see it went to a deserving soul here. Not to say that anybody else wasn't deserving, but I just wanted to let you know, Paul, we are going to be shipping you a lovely care package, and if you're a coffee drinker, hopefully you're going to enjoy that. If not, we can find something else to do for you. I'd like to thank all of the other entrants into this. This is not going to be the last giveaway that we do here at the Caffeination. We are building up our closet of swag, our bag of swag, and we're going to be doing a little bit more giveaways here and now. We might actually just set up a whole bunch of little funds when I if I get products into review and stuff like that. We'll see exactly what happens with this, but I enjoy this. I enjoy the interaction. Thank you, everybody who submitted your name. You will be hearing from me a thank you. So thank you again. All right. Now the next little thing we have to do here is I have a promo from a show that's very near and dear to my heart. One of our listeners here at the Caffeination Podcast, in fact, one of the people who actually submitted to the contest, and sorry that you didn't win, Michael, actually has his own podcast. It's a very new technology news podcast, so we'd like to share the love here. We have a little promo from 13MTN and Mike Long. So here you go, or Michael Long. So here you go. Here's the promo from 13MTN.
This is Michael Long from 13MTN, a weekly podcast that scours the internet looking for technology-related news stories and useful applications for both beginner and advanced computer users, as well as play some great music that will stay with you all day at work. British Columbia's number one tech podcast can be found at 13mtn.mypodcast.com.
All right. Now, Michael is a frequent contributor here at the Caffeination Podcast, and I would like to thank him wholeheartedly for all the links and information that he has submitted throughout the years. So we'd just like to pass along his promo. And just again, that was 13mtn.mypodcast.com. Now, we're going to be highlighting promos and things from the different shows that have actually played promos for the 2-and-2 promotion. You know, that is the contest that we just ran. There's a couple shows from the Tech Podcast Network that ran our promo that put a link up there, and you might have found this show through that. So we're going to be running those promos over the next couple weeks, and I just wanted to make sure that I send a huge thank you to all the other members of the Tech Podcast Network. I couldn't have done this without you. You are a fantastic support to this, so thank you very much. All right, first up, we have a little section we like to call Tech Cruft. Now, it's usually not this late in the podcast that we actually get into going with it. Before we get much further, in between Tech Cruft and the caffeine and food section, we're actually going to have a second bit of PodSafe music. Why? Because it's the 200th episode, so two obviously begats two pieces of music. You just got to watch out for the 500th episode when I have no time to do but exactly play music. So, all right. Anyway, here we go. Tech Cruft, like I said, I'm from Philadelphia. So I have a very deep, committed relationship to the city. I like to think of myself as an ambassador to the city, as kind of like an example of what Philadelphia can be, and I really enjoy connecting with other people from Philadelphia online. We'd like to try and put the good news out there that we're not just a city of people who throw snowballs and stuff like that and all the other fun little nasty stories that people hear. We have a great university culture in the city. I actually work at one of the universities. It's a fantastic place to live, and it's a great place, and the new mayor is only going to make it better. So I got to tell you, this is going to be great. First little story we have here is actually from one of our very common sources, the WebUrbanist.com. They actually did a little story on the tallest masonry building in the world. Now, did you know what it was? It was actually Philadelphia's massive City Hall. It was at one point in time the tallest building in the world, or it was attempting to be the tallest building in the world. It was actually eclipsed by the Washington Monument, and it was the first building that was not a religious structure to attempt to claim that title. At the base of its massive tower, the walls are 22 feet thick. Now, what this basically is this is an entirely masonry structure. There is no like scaffolding on the inside, or there's no metal framework or anything else like that. There's not like a brick facade that goes up around the side. This is one massive stone building. It's the heaviest building in North America. So just take into account what that means. That means that the stadiums in North America, like Beaver Stadium where Penn State plays football, that holds 114,000 people. Philadelphia City Hall is heavier than that. So it has a statue of William Penn, the founder of the city, up at the top, holding a scroll looking out over the city that he helped found on the lovely grid network that we got down here. And there's actually an observation deck that if you've ever been to Philadelphia and you've never been up there, I heartily suggest you actually head out there. No, you cannot stand and walk around on the guy's hat, but you can walk around right under his feet and experience the city from a vantage point that very few people ever do. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there, kind of link the article up there, and it's kind of an interesting little piece. It's 548 feet high. I mean, that's it was the tallest skyscraper in Philadelphia for quite some time. There was actually a gentleman's agreement that no building should pass the tip of Billy Penn's hat, and unfortunately, since other buildings, Liberty 1 and Liberty 2, I'm looking at you, did that, no Philadelphia team has actually won a championship. So there you, well, no, a major Philadelphia team has won a championship. So they actually had a little ceremony for the new building that's going up downtown, the Comcast Center, and they put a statue of Billy Penn on top of it and kind of tried to appease the gods, as the case may be. They only did it for one day, which is what I was actually irritated about. I thought it would have been awesome to put a new statue on top of the Comcast Center, make him, you know, like every building that's ever built in Philadelphia, if it goes over the current tallest in the city, put a statue of Billy Penn up there. Eventually, we'll have an entire herd of Billy Penns up there. I think that'd be cool. All right, something a little bit more wide-reaching here. This episode's going to be all over the place. I found a lot of great stuff over the past couple days. This is an awesome idea. This is a portable power strip. Now, this I found over at a website called ogizmo.com. It's a travel power strip from Monster. Now, it has, I think it has six, oh, sorry. let me see. It has six little outlets on it, and it's a wrappable power outlet. Sorry. It's a wrappable power source that allows you to pack it away in one little neat bundle. It has really thick, manageable cords that are, you know, with the ground plug and everything like that. It's only $15, so, I mean, compared to some of the other stuff that you have out there, it's not really that bad, and it seems to wrap easily and kind of pack very well. So I kind of thought it was really neat. It's also a little surge protector, and you never know with those hotel places. Truth be told, I never actually thought of bringing a power strip with me, and I should have, because whenever I go someplace, I'm always complaining and saying, oh yeah, you know, I never have enough places to plug my gadgets in, so I always end up using like a USB hub and trying to charge everything from the laptop, which I'm pretty sure isn't the best idea for certain things. You know, two cell phones and a digital camera all charging off of a laptop can be a little bit of a strain. So this is a really good idea for anybody out there who's a travel geek. So I just wanted to kind of put it out there and I'll share the love on that one a little bit. All right, now the next little thing is actually a fun editorial article I found over at crave.cnet.com, and it says the MacBook Air is the Cube 2.0. Now, in case you're unaware, the G4 Cube was a interesting exercise in industrial design. Imagine a cube that had fans on the top and a vertically placed CD-ROM slot. Other than that, there was very few things on it. So, for instance, there were no PCI slots on the Cube, there were no additional bays, there was no standard audio input or output, and it wouldn't accept the full-length graphics card. So, I mean, it was very limited, but it was a beautiful piece of machinery. Now, they're saying that the MacBook Air follows this path, and I never thought of it that way, and actually one of my old bosses actually had a Cube. He loved it, but the thing would overheat all the time. He said it was a very, very poorly designed and incredibly expensive for what it was. Now, the MacBook Air comes out, and it has a bunch of other strange limitations to it. No optical drive, no removable battery. It requires a strange connector to actually use an external monitor. Has no Ethernet port. The whole bunch of different things. It has a high price tag for a lower specifications. And it just kind of struck me. It says, you know what, there might actually be something to this. You know, it actually has a small hard drive, and there's a whole bunch of other strange decisions Apple seemed to have made. So I just wanted to kind of post the article up there, see if anybody else had any concerns about this, you know, see exactly what people were thinking about this. I seem to agree. I tend to agree on most of the points that they make in the article. I do think the MacBook Air, it has a very limited scope of people that are going to dig one of these up. And it's funny that the cult of personality that seems to surround Steve Jobs to a certain extent. There's a lot of students who are really that in the place where I work that are really into Macs. And I work in a design profession, or I work within a design school, a professional design school, the architecture program within the university, and a lot of the students use Macs. And that's their choice. That's no problem with any of us. We're platform independent. I consider myself a functionalist. If you can do what you need to on your system, more power to you. If you can do what you need to do on an OpenBSD system on a 9-year-old piece of machinery, then that's all up to you. And, you know, again, more power to you. But a lot of them are really taken by the Mac design aesthetic, I guess you could say. And we've had students over the years who've just like blindly bought the new Apple product without seeing if, you know, it actually fit their needs. So for instance, when they came out with the new iBooks, one of the students bought them only to realize that it was an incredibly underpowered machine for what they needed to do. So I kind of worry about the next year when we have students coming into the program, if I'm going to start seeing a whole host of MacBook Airs. I mean, because there's not even a CD-ROM drive on this thing to allow them to use the programs that they're going to get on disk. I mean, it was one thing when Macs eliminated the 3.5 floppy, because there was another method of input onto this thing. So, I mean, yes, I understand there's methods for sharing optical drives and everything else like that, but a sycophantic computer in that aspect doesn't really, you know, strike a fun chord with me. And getting back to what the students thought, a lot of the students said, you know, when I started mentioning, hey, you do know that it doesn't have a CD-ROM drive and that you can't switch the battery out, they kind of looked at me stunned, like they hadn't heard that. and they hadn't thought about it. They said, you're kidding, right? And I said, no, there is no drive. There is no drive bay. There's a USB port. And they go, well, how am I supposed to get my programs onto it? And I said, well, I don't know. That's up to, you know, the designers of the MacBook Air, and you can buy an external. And that, you know, they seemed incredibly stupefied and kind of conflicted on certain aspects, saying, well, you know, well, I like it because it's Apple in one aspect, but at the same point in time, it seems a little bit draconian in some of the design restrictions they put on it. So I just wanted to kind of pass the article along. I really thought it kind of hit the nail on the head with a lot of the things. I never used the cube for more than, you know, a passing moment or two, so I just wanted to kind of pass the whole thing along and see if anybody else out there had any other issues with it. Now, the next little thing that we have here blends seamlessly a very divergent areas of geek culture. For some reason, all geeks like monkeys. I myself love monkeys for no apparent reason other than the fact that when you say the word monkey in a sentence, it seems to make the entire sentence more interesting. There's Simpson references associated with monkeys. Monkeys just are, by in their very nature, cool. They make stories much more interesting. Robots, much the same way. Mind control, even the same. How would you like a monkey that can control robots with its mind? Yes, people, I am speaking here correctly. You, the citizens of the Caffe Nation, have heard it here first. There's a fun little story over at geek.com. Actually, what it says is there's a fun little test going on at Duke University Medical Center right now, where they are taking monkeys and they're having them walk on treadmills and move around, and they're tracking the brain signals from those monkeys to control a robot in Japan that is walking in real-time association with the monkey. I don't know what this actually is used for other than being really cool, but it had the word monkey and it had the word robot in the title of the article, so I felt compelled to post it for you, and I'm just kind of concerned because I've been talking for a while here about the possible robot uprising and the fact that eventually we're going to create machines that are so sentient that we are determined to be nothing more than, you know, Matrix style copper tops. But at the same point in time, you know, monkeys are supposedly a less developed version of ourselves, so if we're kind of bridging the gap, you know, kind of spanning over what we are in the evolutionary little chain here. All right, you have our predecessors and our progeny, and we somehow become obsolete somewhere in the middle of that. So I just kind of thought it was a fun little thing to pass along. All right, next little thing we have here is a interesting take on the whole new singing and talking to your plant kind of a relationship that some people have out there. Now, there's a ton of studies that are out there that say if you talk to your plants, they actually do better. My cousin actually did a science project. She had two, actually, I think she had three groups of plants. One she badmouthed. I don't know how you badmouth a plant, but she badmouthed the one group of plants. The other one was the control. She just ignored them completely. And the third one, she said more soothing things to. And believe it or not, the one she said soothing things to grew more. And that's pretty much all the scientific explanation I need to say that you should probably talk lovingly to your plants. But at the same point in time, you know, I never thought of having a conversation the other way around, which is what this pot sort of does. This is an interesting little hacked project that hacks a portable CD player and is attached to a little microcontroller in this plant pot that does a whole couple different strange things here. The first thing is it actually produces watery sounds as you're watering it, so if you pour water into it, it realizes that it's being watered and makes appropriate sounds. If it's in direct sunlight, all of a sudden it produces like a lovely, bright and happy backtrack. And when it's not receiving any sunlight, I'm pretty sure it makes gloomy music. So I wanted to see, you know, it's just kind of interesting to think that, you know, this plant's providing a soundtrack to your office. So if you live in one of those little places that you know, is kind of like the office, or rather office space, where you're kind of boxed into a little cubicle, I'm pretty sure you'd want the plant to do kind of the opposite. If it wasn't receiving, you know, bright and happy sunshine, to kind of try and brighten the environment around it, not bring it down a further notch. But this is called the Cantero Planter Project. So this one's found over at device.com. It's powered by the Sci-Fi Network, so you'd know it's all cool right there. All right, now the next little thing we have here is another article from Crave, unmanned aerial vehicles the size of a cigarette or a pen. Basically, there's a tiny little thing that looks like a filter, like a fake filter for a cigarette here, and it is an entire self-contained propulsion device that's supposed to be able to fit in the pocket of soldiers. I don't know what these things would be for. Maybe this is the new style of carrier pigeon. You know, just flick it, turn however on. I don't know. Maybe you light it. you turn it on, you let it go, and it goes back to base. There's no word yet on the actual, you know, controllers or anything involved. Just the actual engine itself, the propulsion system itself, is around the size of, I'd say, 2/3 of a cigarette, maybe less. And, you know, roughly the same diameter, even looks somewhat similar to it because there's a orange band around the middle of the white tube. So if you really want to head on over, this is from Oklahoma State University, so it's really kind of crazy new state-of-the-art thing here. They say the airplane itself can measure from a foot to less than 6 inches in length. I'd like to actually see one of the airplanes kind of in flight with one of these things. I think it'd be kind of neat to have kind of like an origami style project that the soldiers can use in the field. All of a sudden they pull like, you know, two, MacGyver style, go for it. You know, they pull two of these little things out there. That's the two twin jet engines. They fold this, you know, sturdy cardstock into a thing. They put the message in there and they flick it. And then all of a sudden the microcontroller that's already printed in the cardstock flies the plane back to base under the radar, completely undetectable. I mean, that would be awesome. Or they could just use the radio or a cell phone, you know, Nextel somebody, but still. All right, now the next little thing we have here, the last little bit of tech cruft that we got going for you here is my wife wants one of these unbelievably bad. So if anybody's looking for somebody to review a Wii Fit, please send one my way. Now, we're probably going to end up getting one of these. What it looks like is a bathroom scale. It's cut into two different sections, and this is for use with the Nintendo Wii. Now, it has a 300-pound weight limit, so you know, it may cut some of the people off on the scale one side or the other. But what the idea is behind this is it's a balance board. It's supposed to allow you to do certain kinds of yoga in association with different Wii games. There's also talks about using it for Tony Hawk and stuff like that. So it can measure the weight distribution. Well, first of all, if you stand on it, it'll tell you how much you weigh. Second of all, if you lean more on your left foot as opposed to your right, it can tell that you're tilting that direction and act accordingly as a controller. Now, the Wii is already very, very innovative in the way that it controls some, you know, things through space. So I was wondering how much further they can take it, because, I mean, that's just awesome in and of itself that they have this interesting little, the motion sensing Wiimote and nunchuck. But, you know, to add this, I mean, you know, this is like Dance Dance Revolution with the hands. You could do like kickboxing with this, which is one of the things that they're actually, I think, thinking about. So it's kind of cool. Wanted to definitely put it out there. And it's been mentioned before, but the Wii, when it first came out, everybody's like, oh, this is a fad, nobody's gonna like it. Well, now you can actually get them after Christmas. So anybody who had the money saved up, please head out there, grab one, and let me know. I'll add you to my little friends list, and all the people who've used our Wii can parade through your Wii. That's the one big failing of the Wii that I actually see, because I have an Xbox 360 and we have a Wii. The Wii is a really fun, really entertaining, and really cohesive unit. However, it lacks the connectivity between other gamers that I have on the Xbox 360. For instance, if I turn on the 360 right now, I'm pretty sure there's going to be like 6 or 7 people that I know playing a various amount of different games. And if I'm bored, I can say to one of them, hey, do you want to go play a game? I can compare games with them. There's the very addictive element of the gamer score associated with it. So for accomplishments within games, you actually get measurable score that other people can see. It's a really interesting and neat and innovative idea. But, you know, I find that lacking in the Wii. In order to add another person as a friend on my Wii, I had to type in a code that was like 16 digits long. And then there's no other interaction other than being able to send that person messages now. And frankly, it's easier to type on the computer than it is to type on the Wii. And it's even easier to type on the 360 than it is to type on the Wii. Just because the motion sensing, it needs some to be desired. Imagine hunting and pecking with a quill while you're holding it at the very back end of the feather. The easiest, not the easiest, but rather the thinnest part of the feather. And try dipping the tip of the quill on the specific points on the paper you'd like. And that's somewhat around what trying to type with the Wiimote feels like. But all right, moving right along here, we have a fun little bit from PodSafe Music here. This episode 200 is going to be a little bit longer than a rather regular Caffeination podcast, and we'd like to kind of bring up the mood a little bit as we're heading into the caffeine and food section here. So we have a returning band yet again with a new song yet again. This is the Whiskey River Band. You can find them at thewhiskeyriverband.com with their fun song Live and Learn. This is a much more of an Americana kind of a blues rock style thing. So hopefully you're going to enjoy this. Again, this is from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. It's the Whiskey River Band with their song Live and Learn. Again, that was Live and Learn from the Whiskey River Band and their song, and the PodSafe Music Network. Sorry, had to weird little thing pop up on the screen halfway through the song, so you might have heard a little beep here and there. And for some reason, some of the songs we pick up off the PodSafe Music Network have strange time signatures attached to them. So, like, when you start playing them, it might say, like, 1,400 seconds associated with it, as opposed to the really, like, you know, 280. So that was a great song. Wanted to put it up there, but it had a weird time signature associated with it, so you kind of got to guess when it's going to be done. So we could do it all post-processing, but, you know, it's not really fun. So, all right, let's see what we got up here first in the caffeine and food section. Now, what are we doing with this first story here? We have five ways to double up your energy without caffeine. Well, we do have a significant amount of people who listen to the Caffeination Podcast who don't actually drink caffeine, don't drink coffee. They just like some information. They like a little laid-back style of news that we like to deliver here. So we'd like to try and help those people out. And there's a fun little article linked up right here. And by the way, if you'd like to find it, you can link it. You can find it over at www.caffeination.com. That's Caffeination.com. We just like to say that kind of stuff for the listeners who are listening at the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, just in case they happen to come in halfway through this fine episode that we're producing here, just so they know where to go for the information. This is actually from lifehack.org. So it's five different ways that you can increase your energy without actually using caffeine. First one is breath of fire. It's a way in which people who do yoga breathe. It's a specific yoga breathing technique, and they actually have detailed instructions about it over there. Number two is exercise. Number three is meditate. Number four is the ever popular improve your sleep. Now, if my mother's actually listening to this show, she would probably say this is the one that I need to practice a little bit more, a little bit coffee less. I say to hell with that. I like my coffee, and I don't really like sleeping, but I have a fun little magnet work that says, coffee, you can sleep when you're dead. Now, that's pretty much how I approach this whole thing here. I'm a high energy person. And then the last thing here is listen to high energy music. So, you know, get a little Metallica, get something else pumping into your earlobes, and you know, you feel a little bit more at it. You're ready to jump up and take on the world. So, you know, if you do all that and you have a little cup of coffee on the side, hey, more power to you. If not, all right, you can rock that out. All right, now the next little thing we have here is apparently this is the first wonder drug for gamers that's being marketed directly to gamers, and apparently it doesn't really speak to a lot of people, because a lot of people that I've seen talking about this say it's incredibly stupid. Now, the person over here at ogizmo.com actually mentions that there used to just be two kinds of gamers. You were either a dew drinker or you were a jolt drinker. So if you drank jolt cola, you were in one camp. If you drank Mountain Dew, you were in another. Now there's all other kinds of different energy drinks out there. I was in the jolt camp personally. Mountain Dew is the... Luke Anderson, the guy who wrote the article over at Ogizmo, is actually in the Mountain Dew camp. I believe we've actually come to kind of a truce, because it's harder and harder to find jolt cola these days. And I'm not really big on soda anymore, so I'm, you know, much more into coffee. So coffee is my gaming drink of choice. But this is, you know, and I've heard of people trying to take Notos and stuff like that to, you know, increase the amount of time they were awake for hacking and stuff like that. But it really didn't, you know, not just like hacking in the nefarious sense, but hacking into code, you know, really trying to work in the nitty gritty of programming. But it never really occurred to me that people would be making designer drugs for this. This one's called FPS Brain. So first person shooter brain. It's incredibly goofy marketing, and it has a whole bunch of stuff in there, a small amount of caffeine. So it has things like taurine, guarana, all the stuff that you'd find in Red Bull, and without a lot of the sugar, because it's in pill form. So if that's your kind of bag, you can head out and try that. Not really interested in that personally. All right, now the next little thing we have up here is coffee is love. Apparently there's a story of a local woman, local to Kansas City that is, who pays it forward with coffee. Basically, there's a strange little thing that they found at going on at some of the local Starbucks in Kansas City. A woman had her coffee paid for by the person in front of her. So she, in turn, paid for the coffee for the person behind her. And apparently, this stretched on for, like, hours where this was happening. So, like, you know, you would drive up to the Starbucks and they would say the person in front of you has paid for your coffee. Fantastic. I'll pay for the person behind me. And this just kind of passed along throughout the day. And I really thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, it, you know, take what you... take what you want away from Starbucks, whether you approve of their business practices, whether you disapprove of them, whether you like the coffee, whether you don't. It's still really interesting that it actually, you know, stretched that long to where they were saying it. You know, it was several hours, and they said it's happened, you know, over and over again across the country in different places. I never had anything like this happen to me per se, but I thought it was really neat. It says, I like the quote at the end. It says, "It made by day. You can't be grumpy after someone does something like that for you." So it's just kind of cool, and I thought I'd pass it along to you. All right, now the next little thing here, near and dear to my heart. I love the Red Cross, blood donation drives. I think it's one of the better things you can do in life. Other than being an organ donor, if you can give blood regularly, I mean, it really is a very helpful and very real way you can contribute to the good of society. So apparently, if you live in, I think this is in Lancaster, yes. Apparently, if you lived in Lancaster and you are going to be around 2 to 7 p.m. on January 22nd, Dunkin' Donuts is doing a pound for pint promotion. So basically, if you... if you stop by to donate blood, you will get a pound of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. This is fantastic. Now, if it's the Lancaster that I'm thinking of, then I will... it's not within driving distance here, but I really like the idea. If more Dunkin' Donuts did this, I'd donate coffee. At that point, I think I'd probably end up donating the coffee right back to them. But at the same point in time, I really like the idea. I really think it's kind of cool. One of the promotions that they had here in Philadelphia was if you got in early enough. Yesterday, they were actually doing a promotion with the Flyers, and I'm a big Flyers fan, and if you had signed up to donate blood, you got to meet the Flyers starting goaltender, and you got a free jersey. Unfortunately, I didn't find out until Wednesday, and it had already been all signed up and everything like that. I thought it was really cool, so I thought I'd pass that all on to you. And then the last little thing we have here is a fun little article about making your own pods for, you know, the Senseo kind of coffee machine. And just a fun little article I found out there by a gentleman by the name of Maximum Bob. So basically, it's him saying he found, you know, the hand presser that we've previously talked about, but also giving a little review of the Melitta filter pads that he found and he uses. So basically, it allows you to make your own flavored pods out there. You don't have to get stuck with what Senseo puts out there or the different K cups or stuff like that. So I really like an idea, and that's why I originally posted that, was because that's my big barrier of entry. Everybody keeps telling me, oh, Senseo's fantastic, I heard about it on the Daily Source Code or whatever else. And it's like, you know what, it's a great idea in theory, but I don't like being strapped down to, you need to buy coffee from us, or else, you know, you void your warranty. I mean, that seems very counterintuitive to the entire coffee movement. Coffee's, you know, a commodity because you can consume it in so many different ways. So, you know, having these very proprietary systems kind of locks it down and really diminishes the value of the coffee in my eyes. I mean, I know it can increase the value in other people's eyes, but at the same point in time, it doesn't really speak to me on a coffee-loving level. So, all right, that about wraps up what we have here for the Caffeination Podcast today. Please join us on Wednesday for episode 201. We're going to continue onwards here. Hopefully you're enjoying what we did here today. This has been the Caffeination Podcast. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other membership shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. It's stuff that you can listen to in the car with your kids listening. You don't have to worry about listening to our shows and work or stuff like that. You're not going to hear stuff that's going to hopefully offend anybody because, it's all rated G to PG. So, you know, and it's all very informative, that we like to think so, and educational, to say the least. We're also a proud member over at the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And last but most certainly not least, the Caffeination Podcast is a Puzzle Piece production. So we'd like to thank everybody for listening to this and all of the other Caffeination episodes. If I really don't know what to say to express my gratitude for just tuning in for even a second, even if you just stayed for one episode. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.